Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to everyone. We welcome you to Missing Pages of History, a show that is dedicated to serve the underserved communities. We seek to inform you, enlighten you, and to educate you on matters of your concerns. Tonight we have a very interesting show. We're going to deal with some hot topics and news that you can use. And we hope that from this perspective that you're here today, it will enlighten you to act in a positive way to make a better community and a better future for mankind. Right now, we'll start off on the subject, what's up in the Nick Glare Woods. And we'll start with our contributor and analyst of Missing Pages of History, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Thank you.
And we'd like to ask you, in terms of what's up in the Nick of your woods, one of the things I know that not only in the Nick of your woods, but I think it impacts all of the United States, is this whole attitude that is being portrayed by the Republican Party when it comes to the President of the United States, Barack Obama. There's an issue in which they are talking about suing the President. Can you give our audience your take, your analysis on this phenomenon? What is going on as relates to this concept? For the first time in history that I know of, they're talking about suing a President of this particular country. What's up with that, Emmanuel?
Well, it's the same thing, almost same as impeachment, because, again, the predecessor to impeachment, of course, is suing the president. This is the first time this ever happened, basically. And what they're suing him for is for doing his job. It's amazing. There are basically three power strips in the United States government, and that's executive, you know, the legislative branch and judicial branch, and he's, of course, head of the executive branch. And there's certain power comes with that. Constitutional power that comes with that, and that means when we're not doing certain things and he can do something about it, that's his job to do an executive order, and that's what he's doing. Prior to this particular time, Ronald Reagan signed 372 executive orders. Bush signed 293. Barack Obama is 162, and this is his second term. So he hasn't done anything, basically, and the Congress not doing anything. So, again, they're trying to find a way they can strip him of his presidency in a way they can, because as far as they're concerned, you know, he shouldn't have won. He shouldn't be the president for certain things. So, again, they're suing him mainly because of his pigmentation, nothing else, not about policy, not about nothing else. Because everything he's done so far, almost everything, has been very positive. But again, to sue the president, you got to have, you know, have misdemeanors and crimes in these things at all. So they're daring him to do certain things in a dare mode, especially on the immigration reform, where this has been for quite a time. But now people are coming from Central America, Guatemala, other small nations. And they're coming for a reason. And the kids, some kids already been here for quite some time, for years and decades. And they're basically citizens. They were born here. So the Republican Party, anything at all, they're not going to do anything. They're from no do-nothing party. I think their popularity rate is about 7%. I mean, they're not doing nothing, the lowest ever in Congress ever since this country existed. But that's the whole key is pigmentation, nothing about nothing else. Like I always said, the slave is telling the slave owner what to do, and that's not going to happen. So that's the bottom line of this thing, like making very blunt, that the slave is in charge now, and they don't like it. And you're not going to tell the slave owner what to do, and that's what they're saying, basically. They're not saying it outright, but that's what doing everything they can to make sure that they follow that attitude that they got. And it's always going to be a race card, whether you like it or not. When you've been a 400 years of slavery, and they feel that they don't need to pay you anyhow for doing anything that you do, that you're an inferior product. So that's the key. And they're going to keep this up, especially the South, because the South lost the war to the North. And they're still trying to, you know, do the same thing they've been doing for a long time, is make sure there's division. Not only race division, but there's a North and South division. It's just the way it is. So we got to understand that. But again, I don't think it's really going to happen. They can sue him. I guess he's waiting on the suitcase because he's going to show them up, and it's going to backfire. So I'm waiting on the suit. I'm see what they're going to sue him for. They have no idea what they're going to sue him for yet. So they wait. They're going on 5 week hiatus now. They're going on vacation. I haven't done nothing as usual. Nothing to help this country at all. And that's a big bunch of liars. So you got to deal with them in their lying mode. That's all they do. Like the Indian said a long time ago, you speak with a forked tongue. So the forked tongue is really coming out like, you know, like they always said it would when they're not in control anymore. They want to still stay in control from the speakers. You know, as a speaker of the House, he wants to kind of control the president. But the speaker of the House being controlled by the Tea Party, nothing he can do. He's not a very good speaker at all. We're the worst speaker I think we ever had in this country. But I don't think that is going to happen. We'll know when midterm election come. We'll see what holds on. If they get the Senate, they will move that. They'll move that suitcase to impeachment. And impeachment takes a year and a half, 2 years, so he'll be out when that happens. They're just trying to ruin his legacy to a certain point. That's all they're trying to do. Everything they can to stop him from doing things for the American government, this is what they're all about. They did the same thing with Roosevelt. Same thing. Everything they benefit from, they can't benefit like they want to, then, of course, they don't want it to happen. But that's what, you know, that's my take on that.
Okay,
it's all about
take on
politics.
Let me get you take on this particular topic. It's a topic dealing with relationships, male-female relationships. The concept of marriage is really the essence of how men and women should treat each other. What are the boundaries in terms of how we can and must conduct ourselves as it relates to one another? And this issue is the most recent issue dealing with Ray Rice, who is a Baltimore Raven football player, and the physical abuse that he's been alleged of doing in terms of hitting his wife. What is your take? What lessons can the world learn from this particular recent incident? What is really at stake? What are we talking about when it relates to this particular case?
Well, marriage is a change of behavior. Marriage is all about behavior. And it comes, again, with what I call fully adult, an adult. And people get married at 18, 19, 20 years of age. Some people get married at 30, 40, 50 years of age, 60 years of age. It's very difficult to pinpoint it to a certain point. Some have kids, some don't have children, some making a family. So there's a lot into marriage. And, again, marriage got to be very compassionate, very trusting. And, well, the athlete, it also involves money. It involves, you know, you might say, again, attitude is a huge thing in behavior. Two things I look at marriage. I've been married for 35 years to the same lady, by the way, not married twice. But the thing is that what happened with Ray Rice, that shouldn't have happened, because no man should put his hands on a woman, basically. No one is saying that she slapped him first. And she apologized him. What she'd apologize for? Well, that's kind of what was the apology all about? Well, she slapped him first. That retaliation was not to knock her out like he did. And of course, in the elevator where they had cameras on and everything else, so that was told out of, you know, you can't say it's out of context. We got pictures. It's showing exactly what we saw. And he came with a apologetic statement that he made, which is very, you know, his mother didn't raise him like that. I'm quite sure she didn't. But again, you got single moms, you got the ones that married, some grandparents raised the kids. So all this, just marriage is just so much. After you get married, you've seen so much on the surface of the little boy as you're growing up as a teenager. You see an aunts and uncles, very close families. All this is, you know, married, some get divorced. So you see all these challenges, and marriage become a challenge. It's done on a day-to-day, minute-to-second basis every day, because you do just a different attitude. Male and female. So you have to deal with that. And again, that was, I think it just took too much, I would say too much newspaper and media involved with this one. It went overboard, I thought. After a week or so with this thing, everything was done over with. They get counseling, get this or that. Got blown up, I thought, way more when it, than it should. But because he's a football player, you know, he's a celebrity, you might say, to a certain extent, star football player. And you're affecting the bottom line of a football team, which is very expensive. You're affecting a $14 billion line, and you're going to make this the news every day. So you look for negative news, because negative news sells, so you look for that. And again, on African-Americans, you have to report negative news on them 90% of the time. So this is part of that 90% that got reported on you at all given times. This is part of that, because they got to keep making you a certain product and want to keep making an image. They're trying to personify and make sure it stays concrete and stays like it stays. You're not going to change from that, from the inferiority complex they have put on you. And everything they do in the media that gets to the media is going to be mainly 90% negative. But I thought he handled well. Thought the wife handled very well. They're a young couple. I think he's 23, 24 years old. They're very young. They've been going since high school. They got one child. And he got to tell his child, because, you know, this media thing is out there. Mama, Jim, Dad, why'd you hit Mama like that? You know, so there's some explaining to do later on in his life. It's going to be in his head every night when he goes to sleep. Before he goes to sleep, it's going to be in his head. While he's driving alone, it's going to be in his head. So this is all part of marriage, not the physical part. That's not part of marriage. No. That should never happen. But, again, I think he's done very well with it. We need to stop it right now. The media needs to stop it too. He got sentenced per se, two game suspension. People said it should have been more. But what got me most of all when they talked about over $500,000, he's getting, you know, loss of revenue, paycheck, and he should donate this, match that. Oh no, we're not going to do that. Now we're taking it too far. See, we're wired a little bit different. I'm gonna be upfront with you. White people are wired a little different than black people. Just like Hispanics are wired, the Chinese people are wired a little bit different. We're just wired different. I think we get more deep thought to something than most whites do. They just go in skeleton, make it negative, because negative sells. That's what they do. We put more thought into it. When he brought his mother involved, so my mother didn't raise me like that. Well, that was pretty good. And all of us can say that. My mother didn't raise me like that. And I should have never done that. But again, that was provoked to a certain point. People provoke you, but still, be able to walk away. My father told me when I was very young, "Don't hit a woman ever." That showed cowardice, and that stayed with me. My parents had married over 63 years. I never seen them fuss. They didn't do anything. That was a marriage. I said, "Can I copy that?" And I think I'm doing a very good job of copying that. So it's just the environment that you're around, social stratification that you're around, that makes you like you are. I took a class in college called Marriage and the Family. That was quite a subject for me to take. But it wasn't the family that I was in. That was a very affluent family, this, that, and I did write books. It's not about people in the ghetto, basically. It's on another scale. So you got to take that, how you transfer that into your life. Very, you know, very difficult. So where our life contains a lot of stress. Black African-Americans, there's 37% of their life is stress, where only 17% of white life, you know, you might say Caucasian-Americans or European-Americans, is stress. So look at the stress on us. And I tell people over and over again, stress and, you know, high blood pressure, all this comes from two things, basically. One, that you got bills that are $3,000 a month and you're making $2,000 a month. That's stress. That's high blood pressure right there. Because you want to live and eat like everybody else, have a car like everybody else. There's nothing different. You want to enjoy some of the freedoms too, but the opportunities also, but it's not the same. So understand that. That's going to be always going to be that gap there. And marriage, you got to work at it. African-Americans got to work at it much more than most, because, again, that was the big thing back in slavery, was to break up the family, to take them to another plantation, go there to make sure. And that's extension of what's happening today. It's that same extent, police brutality. It's slavery beating slaves, beating them like I don't know what, and police doing the same thing today. Extension of slavery. Everything you see is an extension of slavery, basically. 375 years, you just can't throw in the corners and forget it. We never did it. 375 years of abuse in every area of relationships, in every area. And what you see now is an extension.
Okay, Mr. Joyner, we're going to stop it right there. Point well made. We'd like to introduce another contributor and analyst of Missing Pages of History. We have two of them. We have Mikhail and June out of the state of Pennsylvania, city of Philadelphia. I'd like to welcome them both to Missing Pages of History. We'd like to know what's going on in the nick of that woods, and we're going to deal with some hot topics. And recently I understand that Mikhail and June is in New York City this week. And, you know, recently there was an event that took place where a young man was killed by a policeman, by a chokehold. He was in the process, they said, was selling individual cigarettes. And for some reason or another, they killed him. I'd like to start with Mikhail. Mikhail, can you talk a little bit about what the atmosphere is like, what people are talking about, how people are discussing this issue in Philly and New York, in the northeast corner, about the recent killing of this young man in New York? What is the take? What is the makeup? What is the move of the people as it relates to this case, Mikhail?
Okay, peace. This is Mikhail. We're in New York City today. I've been here for about a week, and we've had a chance to see the response to the basically what was a murder by the New York City Police Department with a fellow named Eric. And he was selling loose cigarettes, and that's what they call them, here in Staten Island. He's been arrested before for petty crimes, nothing really big. He was a father of six. And that particular location in Staten Island is currently undergoing the process of gentrification. The new people that have moved into the area are living in a little bit of a conflict with the original resident, of which Eric was. And because of the price of cigarettes in New York are ranging between $10 and $15 a pack, a lot of people can't afford that, so one hustle is to take a pack and sell each cigarette for maybe $1 a cigarette. But he was arrested and argued a little bit with the police, was tackled by about three officers, one of which put him in a chokehold, and it's all caught on video. They have the audio, and we hear him repeatedly stating that he can't breathe. He suffered from, he was obese, suffered from, I believe, diabetes and some kind of a breathing problem. So at this point, we've seen Reverend Sharpton and National Action Network, among others, come to rally against this police brutality. And the current situation is that the city of New York is reviewing police procedure and establishing a new protocol for arrests and the use of force by the police department on citizens during an arrest. Here in New York, and I believe throughout most of the country, the police force are not allowed to use a chokehold, which can be lethal, and especially in a situation of some petty crime. I think the brother's crime was probably more for being a nuisance in an area where they wanted to change the population. But we are hoping that the commission that's been sent out to L.A. to observe how the reform of the L.A. Police Department is taking place will spread not only to New York City, but throughout the rest of the country.
Okay, and June, as a woman, I'm just real curious in terms of you can add to this case, but also I wanted you to speak to the earlier issue that we raised about how relationships, how things take place when a relationship between a man and a woman, and what is the limitation on how far one can go in terms of this issue of how to deal with each other, how we deal with each other as husband and wife. Is there any excuse for a man to hit a woman? And is there any excuse for a woman to hit a man? Are there any justifications for anyone to respond back from a physical blow to another physical blow as a woman? How do you see this race issue as relates to that and also the killing of this innocent man in New York?
In terms of the the violence that took place between the police and the individual, Eric, who they actually murdered. That was under no circumstances should the police have used any deadly force in that situation, because the crime was, like Michael said, a nuisance crime more than anything else. So to have 3-4 police around him and one put a chokehold on him was uncalled for. And the police who was responsible for causing his death should be penalized to the highest degree. But in terms of relationships with married people, when it comes to violence, well, we know that in America, from the inception of the so-called Columbus coming here to these shores, women have always been devalued. Women has always been seen as property. And therefore, oftentimes and not, men thought that they could control women if they took the hand and physically beat her or hit her. This, I don't know too much about the case for the person who was, the young man who was the football player. But again, under no circumstances, him being a man, should he have raised his hand to his wife and hit her? I think I heard Mr. Joyner or someone said that he received maybe he was suspended twice. Well, I don't know what the policy is for the football league, but I think it should be written, and it should be written in code. There are no circumstances, because of the celebrity status of these individuals, that they should not represent to the American public that beating their wives will be tolerated. So if policy is not there, it should be there. But it shouldn't even have to be written, because in a society where you have a family and relationships, the relationship of the husband and wife, it should be one of mutual respect. And if, as I see it, I can't imagine going up to my husband and says, "I'm going to smack you because I disagree or I don't like what you do." Like I say, there's always been a code, an unwritten code here based on power structure in America, but it's not a good one. And it's not one I subscribe to, nor is it one that I think anybody else should. And we should stand behind any law, put out any law that would not allow that to happen in these United States.
All right. What we're going to do right now, we let our listening audience know that you are listening to Missing Pages of History. We are a biweekly radio talk show. We seek to be a voice for the underserved community, or in other words, a voice for the voiceless, where we're talking about issues and hot topics and give a perspective where normally you will not hear in mainstream media. We often speak truth to power, and today we are basically talking about issues that's going on in our community and hot topics. And we, as always, would like to have your participation. You can participate by calling in at 818-337-0016. That's 818-337-0016. If you have any views or comments on the subject area or contribute to the theme, please hit number 1 so we can identify your number, and we will call out your last 4 numbers in your phone. Your last 4 numbers, we'll call out your last 4 numbers, and that way you can make your contribution to this particular program. Also, we'd like to say, before we go to our callers, is that Missing Pages of History have an upcoming quarterly raffle drawing, which will take place on August the 13th. So you still have time to purchase your ticket. If you need tickets, you can write us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com, or you always can call us at 804-726-3217. As always, we know information is important, so what we're trying to do is use information to help develop and build our communities. So right now, what we're going to do is we're going to take our first caller that's been waiting for a while. We're going to call number 7075. Caller 7075. Welcome to Mrs. Page's History. Your question or comments, caller? Yes, caller.
Certainly. Thanks for having me on the program today. A couple of comments, concerns that I have about events going on outside the U.S., most significantly, the ongoing genocide against the Palestinian people taking place in Gaza. And, I was curious of how many of your audience are aware of that, that's taking place. Another issue that I have a concern with is the ongoing effort to stifle political dissent inside the U.S. By minimizing demonstrations, trying to prevent them from occurring. A particular case in point is the protest against the School of the Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia. The Columbus police, Columbus, Georgia police, have issued strict guidelines restricting what these peaceful demonstrations, can do, how many people can participate, etc. And this is a serious concern because ever since the incident on September 11th, there's been an intensification on the part of the military and the police to minimize or stifle political dissent of U.S. government policies inside the U.S. and around the world.
Okay, caller, we'll put you on hold. We'll let our contributors and analysts maybe respond to the issues that you have raised. One issue is what's going on in Gaza Strip, and the second issue is this climate of fear or this climate of intimidation where people have been frightened to speak out on issues. I think those are very legitimate concerns and issues that are affecting our communities. But before we go to our contributor analyst, one thing I would also like to say, for those that listen to Missing Pages of History online, please, to hear the entirety of this program, we can go over. Please go to the archive by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/missing-pages-of-pages-history-inc. Okay? The Missing Pages of History, Inc. In between each one of the words, make sure you have your hyphen. You can go to the archive and view our daily programs from week to week. So we will go over. So if you don't hear the entirety of this program, please go to the archive. Coming back to our contributor analyst, Emmanuel, he raised two important issues, which I think is very important. His perspective of what is going on in the Gaza Strip. There seems to be a large amount of killing on one side and lack of reporting. And there also seems to be a question of creating a fear of people speaking out that's going on in this society. Will you speak to both of those issues from your perspective, Emmanuel?
Well, I'm too familiar with Columbus, Fort Benning, Georgia, and what's going on there. But he's right about the case of one in Raleigh. That they, again, that's coming from the governor. The military and the government, this and that, but it's coming from the governor. That's states' rights getting back where they want to be at because we have an African-American president. They want to change on the federal government and try to give it. It's not going to happen. And demonstrations are being sort of shut a little bit because of, they say, these are things that Republicans are saying when they demonstrate. And it's happened mainly in Republican states. I haven't seen anything happen in a Democratic governor. But I've been told in North Carolina when the NAACP Representative Barber went to the governor's office to protest some of the things they would on voting rights. On his troop, they started locking them up because there was too many people. They called a disturbance, stopped traffic, leaving debris, using bathrooms. So all this stuff got involved. And it's the Republican way of saying, I want you to do it, so I want to get to go with them because, again, they're saying things that are really happening. And it takes the police people from doing their police work. So that's sort of going on, and this is what they're validating, that this is what's going on. So they had a smaller group, going to have so many, they've been controlled, not a problem being controlled, but that's the other thing they say contributed. Again, using the bathrooms, it's a, you know, small disturbances, cars being parked certain places, taking up parking spaces, this, that. People can't get into businesses, this or that, or government office. People can't do their job. In the vestibule, they call it, or the area that they need to come through and walk through. So all this stuff, they bring it up to make this happen. But we always be able to demonstrate whatever. So, but that's some of the things they're saying. And that's why they sort of, you know, knocked it down here in North Carolina. Republican Governor Cory and so once they did that, they stopped locking them up. They had about 20-30 people. That's less, you know, less vocal. Again, you putting up microphones, putting up this and that, and it's just sort of, you know, intimidating people to a certain extent. If they're not, see, the teapot was okay demonstrating. Nobody said anything when the teapot was doing it. None of these southern states, because they were controlling it. Many came through with all kind of signs saying everything. Nobody said a word, basically. I always said, we need a coffee party. African Americans need a coffee party. They got the tea party, but that's another show about the coffee party. But the Gaza Strip, that's going to go on forever. Them two brothers going to fight each other forever. And Ishmael, Abraham stuff back in the Bible, this the cast of the land of Canaan, that's going to stay there. The war between the Jews and the Arabs is going to stay there forever. The Gaza Strip, people don't know about it. That's where the oil is. All stops right there. Now, I always say there's got to be a God, because how do you stop it there? He gave all the nine surrounding countries all but Israel. Israel had them, they only have water. And that's why water and oil don't mix today. That's my analogy. Why the two don't mix. The Jew and the Arab just don't mix. Very simple. When you look at that in a certain way, a Jewish religion opposed to Islamic religion. So those two never going to meet. So we're in there for a three-day ceasefire at the moment. They're going to try to negotiate something, whatever it's going to take. And, of course, Israel, the country of Israel, have more superior weaponry than the Arabs. Got rockets, basically, good type stuff, and where Israel got more like nuclear stuff. So they're superior with power. Military power, can't match them. It's very simple. But that's going to be there for a while, and forever that's going to happen. Because that's from biblical days, when it's cast to be or cast to base of the Arab cannon, and that's what happened. And they're never going to make it. Those two are never going to make it, and again, Israel has to buy their oil best of the United States, basically, because the Arabs won't sell them any. So of course, we sort of step on our nuclear umbrella, Israel is. And the only power in there, the small one, only 14 million people, and 8 million are here and 6 million are there, or either vice versa, facing around the world, but very few. So they do have a superior military there. But the whole thing is oil. Now the Strip has where the oil stops. Ain't nobody going to tell you that, but that's where the oil stops. And Israel wants that oil right there. They want to take that over, so they don't have to worry about getting oil at these high prices. But that's the key to that. And nobody's going to talk about this. We're going to skirt the issue a little. But the issue is the Gaza Strip has oil, and that is the problem. And they get that part right there, they don't have to worry about getting oil anybody else. Gaza Strip. But they
okay. What we're going to do right now, we're going to let the audience know that we do have another contributor, the analyst from Missing Pages. Susan and Rich will be coming on shortly, as well as we have a caller that's been waiting patiently, caller 8963. We'll be coming to you shortly. But right now, we'd like to go to Brother McCall. Let me get your, what is your version on the Gaza Strip and June, and then we'll let the last caller make a statement. We'll go to Susie and our next caller, McCall.
Okay, peace.
The issue of Gaza Strip and the issue of a stifling dissent in this country. What is your take on that?
Okay, well, with the Gaza Strip, we can look at the history of that area And there's been, since the establishment of the secular state of Israel after World War II, this is when you see the primary problem between so-called Jews and so-called Arabs in that area. This is due to political and financial reasons more so than any ethnic conflict, because the city of Jerusalem and that entire area had been in a state of relative peace up until that point. There had been a few purges, but that had happened throughout the world. As you look into the history of the peoples there, we've been given a kind of a myth concerning the conflict between Israel and the surrounding countries. The people of the biblical era, Ishmael, who we represent as Arabs, even though there's a little difference there, and the people represented today as Israel, in the biblical days there was mention of a conflict. However, the two patriarchs buried their father together, Abraham. So that's in terms of the Bible. The conflict was not what we're being led to believe. However, after World War II, once the British and the Ashkenazi Jews of Europe worked together and became or established that secular state, it behooved the British Empire to have the oil under its control. So we have the financial aspect that's the primary reason for the conflict that we see here today. And on top of that, we have additional disinformation that's been put out there in the general media. In terms of protests in this country, we can go back in just to the 1960s and see what happened to the NAACP, SNCC, and other organizations as they attempted to protest and bring attention to discrimination in this country. It was very violent. You see Kent State, and that was ending of taking of lives also in that situation. So we see that the government has upgraded and modernized its means of controlling dissent. So now you may have to get a permit, and you may have to be limited to only a certain amount of people to have a particular protest in a particular area. This past, about 2 weeks ago in Philadelphia, there was a spontaneous protest concerning the fire that burned down the Liberian neighborhood in southwest Philadelphia. And what happened there is people did not get a permit. They immediately went to the local firehouse and shut down what was going on at the firehouse for a short period of time. And I think the city noticed that quite immediately.
Okay, we'll stop right there. Of McHale, and we only have a few minutes left. We would like to give this one caller a chance to make a comment if they have one. That's caller 8963. Caller 8963. Question or comment, please, for today? Caller 8963. Welcome to Mr. Page of History. Okay, I assume this caller has no comment. We want to give him an opportunity. We'll go to Susie. Susie, give me your final thoughts on some of the subjects that we'll discuss today, and we'll go back to Mr. Joyner, who gave this audience some updates or missing pages and how they can help us. Susie, your thoughts.
Okay, as far as some of these are all, everything that was mentioned during this show is all historical points, which will make people even more aware, being given more information than what we're seeing in action in this media. But on top of it, as far as Gaza and Israel, the thing about it is that they've been having the ceasefires, but what's happening is that no one is actually recognizing the ceasefire. As soon as they say it, then eventually the fighting starts back again. And the sad thing about it is that you have more of the Palestinians being killed because Israel does have more firepower. And basically, the other abuse that's going on in Richmond, in neck of the woods, is the court case with the governor, where the governor received monies and items that was against the rules and regulations of being the governor of the state. So he's now in court, and which is playing out that the individual that was supplying these items knew in the beginning that it was wrong, but they still did it and they accepted it. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, listen, audience, we're winding down to our program. One of the things we'd like to share with you and invite you to listen to history is in the process of trying to expand this particular program, whether you stay online and come on a weekly basis. And one of the things we need in order to do this, if you appreciate the work that we're doing in our community, we will need your support. And one way to support our program is by making a contribution to Missing Pages of History. It is sent to P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. All money received will be going toward developing, improving, not only this program, but all the work of Mr. Pages. We will greatly appreciate your support. Just again, make your contribution out to Mr. Pages of History, or ACH, P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. Emmanuel, and we thank Emmanuel. Coming back to you, can you talk a little about MPH, what the future looks like, what some activities they're going to be participating in the next upcoming months? Emmanuel.
Well, again, we'll be looking at current events again, giving our strong opinions and accurate information as we possibly can, again, to the bottom line of things that we people will be talking about. So, again, Ms. Mabry, it's more like the explainers. We're going to explain exactly what's going on, give you the bottom line, because some, again, they just basically give you the outskirted issues that people want to hear that they don't know about, but underneath stuff of what we try to give you, so you be more informative and more accurate to when you have a conversation with a colleague or another person. We're working on some upcoming TV programs about missing pages of history and things that we've been missed in history. I'll just bring you to an up note. Remember Chubby Checker, The Twist, where The Twist right now has gone to the National Recording Registry in the Library of Congress, Chubby Checker. So that's quite an ordeal. Only 25 singles in there, and The Twist is one of them. So again, African-American mixed history again. Probably won't know too much about. I want everybody to please go see James Brown, the movie that I'm very in touch with. I have a lot of reference points there. I promoted him 4 times when he was singing out there on the stages in Baltimore at the Royal Theater. And I used to be a neighbor of mine. I used to live upstairs on the 11th floor. I lived on the 10th floor of Sutton Place in Baltimore. And he owned the radio station there. And he owned Birdcage, and he married one of the barmaids there. So James Brown, like, we have a lot of history there. I'll be going to see him tomorrow. The theaters are loaded today. But everybody should go see James Brown. And some other things we'll be doing, like I said, again, we're going to keep it with current history. And we're going to be mentioning basically history points, missing pages of history. So we got to fill in those missing pages. And we'll be doing that constantly. Not with the latter stuff, but how we got to where we are today and what we can do about it. And, you know, what's the formula for doing that? And I always try to give you something that you can sort of take back with you. And when I say extension of slavery, what's going on today, 90% of the things that happen today is extension of slavery, discrimination. It's, you know, it's bias, it's racism is here to stay, whether you like it or not. But that's the way they're always going to look at it. Because you're the minority, and they're going to look at it that way all the time. I was reading the other day, we've got 35,000 African-American millionaires. 35,000 out of 43 million people. Now, I'm going to grown-ups and kids, I'm getting all those specifics, but that is 0.01%. That's nothing. I mean, we're not even close to being anything at all, basically, as far as being millionaires. The average
On that point, Emmanuel, We got to stop you. We got less than 30 seconds. We want to remind the people that's tuning in. Our next program will be August 16. As always, you can get in touch with us by writing to missingpagehistory1@yahoo.com, or you can call us at 804 726-3217. Until next time, let's continue to strive to go forever, backwards never. Your all contribution will be appreciated. Send to P.O. Box 27, 782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. We thank you for watching.